And now it's time for the Scrub Brothers Show. We're putting the body back together. Listen in and learn how amazing the human body is. Learn in a way that's a bit irreverent and thought-provoking. And now it's time to check in for your appointment with the Scrub Brothers.
Mike, it's been a while since I've seen you in a swimsuit, but I must say, it was amazing.
I'm swimming, I'm slimming. That's me.
Well, the speedo that you wore?
Yeah, well, kind of a, you know, what do they call it, banana hammock, but if you, you know, if you don't have
more
it,
of a...
Yeah.
Smoky Lake hammock.
Smoky Lake hammock.
Hey, I'm proud to be...
So we're talking, speaking of small appendages, yes. We're talking about gout today.
Yes.
Do you know anything about gout? Have you ever had gout? Because you are a setup for gout.
Like okay, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, what is gout?
I'm like, what? No, here's what I know about gout. Now, and then you'll tell me why I'm a setup for gout. Because
like the root canal last week.
It's oxalic acid, right? Isn't that what it is? The oxalic acid crystals that get in?
Uric acid.
Uric acid crystals. Yeah. Okay. So all I know is that people get it periodically. Cherry juice is supposed to help from some reason, and I don't understand why. But they get, isn't it a crystallization of the
uric acid.
Uric acid in the joints.
Yeah.
Right? But why would it?
Okay. So you know a lot. Now, why are you set up for it?
Yeah.
Well, you're...
Here we go.
You've experienced a few sunrises, sundowns in your life, you know what I'm saying? You're not a young man anymore.
I've been on this planet for 61 and a half years.
You're a beer drinker.
Well, I do believe I am, but...
you have partaked.
But I have. I get it. I get the beer in my mouth, but I never swallow. I never swallow that beer. Never.
Is.
It's just tasty.
What is? You sound like Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've just found out that if you have relations with your cousin, it's called sex. I never knew that. We just called it something different.
Yeah, it's funny. People come in with toe pain, and I said, oh, my God, you could have polio. And they kind of look at me, and I said, well, were you vaccinated against measles? And they're like, what? I said, well, at least you don't have smallpox.
And that's what they're looking for when they go in the ER.
So people with gout, so this used to be called the rich man's disease because it was, you'd get it from foods loaded with purine. And so things like cheese and red meat and alcohol.
Oh, man. That's me.
That's your diet. Alcohol. That's my diet.
Well, yeah. No, but you don't eat meat.
No, but two out of three.
Ain't you don't bad. Eat meat?
No,
I try
not to. I try not to.
You've kind of been a pseudo vegetarian for a long time.
Yep, for sure. Try.
I'm a pseudo fruitarian. I don't eat fruit. No, I really don't. But I've never had gout either.
I'm a pseudo good for you food Aryan.
pseudo Little Debbie's cakes guy. Yeah.
So people come in with gout all the time, and it's they would say like in the 1700s, 1800s, people would kill themselves because the pain was so bad. Like they would it usually comes out at night when you get a little dehydrated and when it's a little colder, when your stomachs are a little colder, and they would wake up with this horrible toe pain and they would think like something happened to them and the pain would be so bad people have killed themselves because of the pain of gout.
Holy cow.
Back in the day.
I didn't know you could feel it if you weren't moving. I thought
they said they will feel air waves, like the current of air going past their toe, or like if you put a sheet on their toe,
Wow. It's
just excruciating pain. I've had friends that have had gout, and they say it is truly excruciating.
Really?
And most common, it's in the great toe. And so you always see this picture of a guy with a red swollen toe joint where their foot meets their toe.
But it does swell. You can see a physical inflammation.
It does, and it turns red, and you touch it, and it's exquisitely tender. And, you know, when you talk to them, you kind of get the idea, depending on how many attacks they've had, and oftentimes it's their first attack because they don't know what it is, that this is probably an acute gout flare. And it's when these uric acid crystals build up and cause this inflammatory response in the joint, in your great toe, and yet in your knee, yet in your fingers, but it's from uric acid. And it's either from a decreased excretion, which is most of the causes, or increased production, which is less causes of it.
Decrease, what do you mean decreased secretion?
You don't, for whatever reason, you're not secreting uric acid through your kidneys as well. And there's a genetic predisposition.
Oh, so it's so if you're not secreting it through your kidneys, so you're not clearing it so it builds up in your system.
Correct. Okay. Now this is good news for you, Mike. Taking vitamin C and eating a diet high in low-fat dairy products. What's a low-fat dairy product?
It's an oxymoron. It's like a jumbo shrimp. Do they exist?
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what it is. I guess you do
low fat dairy.
Well, yeah. You got to have what?
2%, 1% skim milk.
I guess you do cottage cheese fat. That tastes like wax and oh god.
Yeah. Anyway, low fat dairy. Thank you, Rob.
I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Every time I come around you, docs,
another
I am in trouble.
Another reason to leave planet Earth.
Probably, I think both of you, if you would have gotten it, you would have gotten it by now.
Rob, slap me some high five, baby.
Right there.
Strong work.
Gout free.
So
that'll look good on my match.com.
You got
post.
The striking guy over there that's in perfect shape, not an ounce of fat on him. Then you got you that's in pretty good shape, you know, and then there's me. I'm the lower end of the spectrum.
It's the circle of life.
The whole circle is here.
It's like the Jungle Book, right in this very room.
Circle.
I'm not sure what I'll say. Anyway,
I'm part of the circle. Anyway,
you're part of a circle, all right. So, acute toe pain, acute knee pain. People come in with this, and the way to really diagnose it, you can diagnose it partially from history, but you stick a little needle in the joint and you pull out some fluid called synovial fluid, and you look at it under a biorefringent microscope, and you see these little needle-like crystals in there. And those are the uric acid crystals that are precipitated out in the joint fluid, and that's what causes inflammatory response that's so painful.
And so it's the physical presence of the crystal is what causes the pain and inflammation.
Right. Gotcha. And, you know, oftentimes people will have, about half time, they'll have elevated serum uric acid. It'll be increased. But sometimes they don't.
Now, so where do you get, I mean, this is probably a silly question, but where do you get uric acid from? Is it, it's just urea, it's turning into urine, is that right?
So it's things that are purine rich. So lentils, peas, spinach, those all have high levels of urine. They say red wine increases your risk of gout, but heavy alcohol consumption definitely increases your risk of gout. Sedentary lifestyle does it. Diabetes does it.
Wow, no kidding. Holy cow. Well, I've got one of the gals in the office. Her husband has problems with it all the time.
Yeah.
It's episodic, and it's just debilitating.
It is debilitating, and it'll eventually cause joint destruction. So anchovies, shrimp, organ meat, dried mushrooms, seaweed, and beer yeast are the most and fructose sweetened drinks.
Really?
So there.
There's another. If you write down the list of stuff you can't take, Rob, you can't eat. We're set.
We've got rice cakes.
No,
that's it.
I think you're missing out. Rice cakes, water, and Little Debbie's cakes. We'll sit together on a cardboard box at the train
beer.
Station. I know. We'll put it in there. We won't swallow it. We'll be fine. We'll enjoy it.
So just to wrap up, gout. So if you have it, it's totally painful, totally debilitating. But the good news is you can take some medications to lower your serum uric acid levels. And one's called allopurinol, and that's probably the most common one. Another one's called probenecid. But they will decrease your serum uric acid. Now, most people who have elevated uric acid don't get gout. Only about 10% of those or so actually develop symptoms of gout, even if they have elevated serum uric acid. But the people who come in with an acute attack, those are people who are absolutely miserable. And so the treatment for those folks is if they take non-steroidals, like naproxen, for example, or naproxen, that's the initial treatment. Now, not everybody can take those. If you have an ulcer, if you have gastritis, if you have kidney disease, the most significant one, you can't use that medication on those folks. So then you're stuck with, and not stuck with because it works, is a steroidal, which is in the Medrol dose pack like you and I talked about before, Mike. And you give a tapering dose of steroids or a drug called colchicine, which decreases the uric acid as well. And colchicine works really well. You take a pill about every hour until the pain goes away. And I've used probably all three of those on close friends of mine, and they all work relatively well. But the folks who have this say they can do anything to prevent getting these attacks because they're truly, as you said, debilitating.
So wait, are they on this then prophylactically then?
Well, they're on allopurinol prophylactically to lower their serum concentration. And then when they get an acute flare-up, then they're usually taking non-steroidals first line, and then colchicine or steroids after that.
How long does it usually take? Is there in a week or in a day or in a few hours, it will start, the pain will go away because they're in such pain?
You know, it's probably a solid day or so before the pain goes away. Colchicine will take it away pretty quickly. And the anti-inflammatories in the right doses will take it away quickly as well. But a pretty significant dose with some potentially side effects. GI bleeding is one. Kidney disease is one. But the way to diagnose it is that synovial fluid. You put a little needle in this red swollen joint, which obviously hurts like hell, and you pull the joint fluid out, and then you look for these crystals.
Hmm. Now, how does cherry juice fit into this?
You know, I don't know if you're supposed to soak your toe in cherry juice or drink cherry juice. I don't know the answer to that.
Is it effective, though, or is that the old wives' tale? Because everybody I've ever talked to that has gout says they got to start drinking more cherry juice and they feel better.
That's a new one on me.
I
have not heard that.
I've heard that, yeah.
I can look it up. I'll get back to you on that one.
I hang out with a lot of old wives. That's
who have tails.
Yeah, they're tails.
Yeah. Hey, when you're 61, you do the best you can.
But, you know, the funny thing is, that was good. Tail? No, thank you. Not today. But you hear about this, and you hear people killing themselves. They're like shooting their toe off.
That's just
amazing. Because it was so painful.
That is amazing. Wow. That's unbelievable. Wow.
So there. Gout. Well,
thank you for enlightening. I had a guy in high school that had gout. It was like...
So it's really unusual in kids.
Really? He was a high school kid, yeah. And I remember him because he got out of gym class all the time in high school.
Because he had the gout?
Yeah, because he said he couldn't move, and it was his ankle, I think, or something that it was always bothering
him. I wonder if that was more like ankylosing. I mean, that seems odd that it was gout in a kid that age.
Yeah, well, back in the day, you know. You know, he used to throw salt over his shoulders, too. So, hey, Juan, I got a question for you.
Hit me. See if I can get this one right for once.
This is from Creatine, Montana. Good folks up there.
They're big.
Muscular.
Big listing group in Creatine, Montana.
They work out a lot.
Fred asks, hey, I cut myself. How do I know if the cut or the laceration needs to be stitched up or not?
So that's a great question. I just had a medical board complaint on this one. So the rule of thumb is, I mean, if the wound edges, if you can spread the wound edges apart, you probably should close it if it's acute. And acute is generally under 12 hours. And so if somebody comes in with a laceration to their arm or leg or what have you, and if it's less than 12 hours old, we'll wash it out really well. And that's totally key, is to irrigate it out, and then you can close it. And you can close it with a couple of different ways. You can glue it shut, and this is kind of depends on how deep it is and where it is. But you can glue it shut, you can staple it shut, or you can suture it shut. And then if you suture it shut, you can do a couple of different things. You can do two layers or three layers, but two layers, so deep and then superficial, or just superficial sutures. If it's on the face and it's more than 12 hours old, we close those sometimes, because obviously if you close them, you have a better cosmetic look afterwards,
yeah,
as opposed to leaving them open. What's called secondary intention, healing from the bottom up. So Fred, it depends where it is and how long ago and how contaminated it was. The more contaminated it is, the less likely we are to sew it up.
What about butterfly stitches? You hear about those all the time.
So they're not really stitches, right? Those are little bandages.
Yeah, bandages. Yeah, butterflies.
You know, I think wound glue has kind of done away with butterfly stitches, but certainly as long as you're getting the wound edges close together. But the key is you've got to get all the crap out of it. You have to get the dirt out of it.
So when you do that, when you clean it, how do you clean it?
Irrigation. You can irrigate it with tap water.
I mean, you're not using hydrogen peroxide or any of that kind of stuff.
We use sterile saline.
Yeah,
but okay, if you're home, you probably don't have a lot of sterile saline. Just run into the tap water.
So when you spread it, you can put your fingers on either side of it. If you can pull them apart just with gentle pressure, then you think you should stitch it.
Yeah, or you should close it some way.
Okay,
glue, staple, stitch.
So once you irrigate it, can you put like polysporin or something like that, or just irrigate it, close it, and put a Band-Aid on it and close it up if it's a smaller?
Well, you only put polysporin really on the skin or the, and you generally don't need that. If you wash it out well and close it properly, you know, you can put some antibiotic ointment, I suppose, but it's like bacitracin we'll put on it. But that's almost more for the non-adherent stuff, so it doesn't stick to the dressing.
Gotcha. So the glue that we use, that tissue glue in dentistry, and it doesn't seem like, unless it's a totally different thing for you guys, because we don't have those huge gaping wounds, to put it together and glue it, that seems like it would be tough to get
it. Depends how much, you can't do it when it's bleeding. You can't do it if it's contaminated at all, because it really forms a very tight seal.
Okay.
But the cool thing is, you know, you can get it wet. You shouldn't get, you know, direct pressure water on it, for example, but you can get it wet, you can take a shower with it.
Okay.
And, you know, gluing has really changed a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, we used to suture everybody, and now I probably glue half those people.
Wow. Well, the one thing is, too, that we're always dealing with people that are bleeding at the time. You know, so we still use it sometimes to try and seal an edge or seal area around bone grafting sometimes. But that's probably why. So if you're using it with the dry, I can see where that would be real effective. So how about you're in the ER, and you got a guy that got whacked with a knife. Let's say he's got a 3-inch or 2-inch deep cut, but 5 inches long.
Yeah, well, so you explore it, and you look to make sure there's no, for example, if it's the volar, the soft part of the forearm, you look in there, see if there's any tendons, because they can move all their fingers, have all their sensation, and then irrigate it out, probably take an x-ray, see if there's foreign bodies in there, because there's oftentimes there are. And then you can close it up primarily or the two-layer closure if there's enough tissue for that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And stapling works really well. I mean, you can staple fast.
Yeah, those are wild. I had that done one time. Twice. Once. Yeah, boy, they staple. I didn't even know they were doing it.
Circumcision?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because I kept stepping on the darn thing. But, no, it was that knee surgery that I had when I took the cast off back in the Iron Age, you know. Oh, God, I didn't know there were staples in that thing. I no clue. Scared the hell out of me. It's a great thing to do.
They stapled back then.
Oh, God, yeah. They stapled that poor leg of mine, man. That thing looked like a railroad track. And it scared me more than anything else because I didn't know what it was. I figured stitches. I looked at it. I was like, oh, God. You know?
Staples.
Love Dr. Brown. Hope he's in the ground right now. But
bastard. All right, funny story today. So this is, you know, they say when you're in medical, I don't know if this is the same in dental school. In medical school, you get all the diseases that you talk about. Never happened to me until we were dissecting the scrotum. And I don't know what it was. So the way
so
it works.
Was this an anatomy class? Let's yeah, just, okay, this wasn't class. Some poor guy in the
ER. I was like, hold still, quit moving. I'm close. Oh, that's 20
more stitches, sir.
No, that's like my, what's it called, vasectomy. Your sister sent me to Dr. Mengele. Oh. Jesus.
Yeah, I
swear to God, he had a German accent. He's from Argentina. If that guy was not a Nazi, hide down in Argentina.
Have
I'll
you ever
shot.
Had anybody that's gone and had a vasectomy that has ever had kind treatment? If they treated the chicks like they treat us.
I coded the guy once, and I ran into the room with this crazy urologist, and the guy was dead. He brayed down, and we ended up resuscitating him. And all that was sticking out of the sheet, of the sterile drape, I swear to God, was a scrotum penis. He had his head covered up, his whole body was covered up, and the guy was like flat lying on the monitor. I'm like, what the hell? You don't blow there, you blow up here.
And he tell you I'm almost done, though?
Oh, my God. And the guy, he totally freaked out.
Well, yeah, so did he do? Oh, he did it. He coded while he was doing the vasectomy.
Yeah,
huh?
So he vasovagaled, and then he lost his heart rate for a little bit. Which is not.
Did you get him back? Did you get him going? Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, but here's the. I seriously, have you ever had any guy go? Oh, yeah, they were really great. You know,
the term blue balls a whole new meaning, though.
Oh, it's you know, but they don't even give you any, like you said, Versed or anything. I walked into that like a freaking lamb to slaughter, thinking, probably give me a little IV or something, you know, whatever.
This nurse shaved me with a straight razor, and I swear to God, it was like watching someone skin a mule deer.
Yeah, don't you? If they do that,
stock still.
Okay, but don't you think if they do that, seriously, why wouldn't they just say, "Hey, listen, here's a razor. Go shave yourself." Why do they have to sit there and grab your junk?
I did.
You already pre-shaved.
Oh,
you weren't taking a straight razor to yourself.
She did a straight razor. I was like, oh my god. So anyway,
you're dissecting.
So you first watch a movie, and the movies. So you watch the movie on the dissection, then you dissect, and the movie is in great graphic detail of a dead scrotum, and you dissect it. Oh my God! After that, I had the worst testicular pain.
I think
it was sympathy pain.
I completely understand, Doc.
And I'm not like one to generally complain about much, but I mean, I'm thinking this ain't right. So I go to the emergency room where I worked as an orderly, and some doctor, some schmo there is like, you're fine, get out of here. So I went home, and my pain went magically away. I told my mom the next day, and she goes, I think you're eating too many nuts, John. And she was dead serious.
She was, yeah. Wasn't she the one that took you to the priest because you were spanking your monkey too much? Too
no, that was that wasn't even that. I was just touching it, see if it was still there.
Touching.
That was a pediatrician, the priest. Jesus.
I don't know what the hell you north side guys do.
The priest would want to touch it too much. That's the way Catholics roll. Well, on that note, my parents said, did a priest ever touch you? I said, no, what was wrong with me? I was a good-looking guy back then, too. They did not think that was funny.
Thanks for listening to The Scrub Brothers Show. Every week, putting the body back together right here. Listen live or on demand 24/7. Join us next week for your appointment with The Scrub Brothers.